Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a little bit overwhelmed this morning. You know, I'm new here to young people showing the courage to get up here and sing the songs of Zion.
Yes.
Sing it from the heart. It's encouraging to our hearts this morning. And I wasn't prepared for all that this morning. But I'm glad to know that God is faithful. God's a good God. He's able to reach the hearts and the minds of mankind, no matter what age, what condition. And it's encouraging to me. I'm glad to see God working and moving. I'm overwhelmed a little bit, so you have to bear with me this morning. But I thank him for his amazing grace, and I'm thankful that we can trust him and we can live for him and that he won't fail us. He's going to be with us every step of the way. So I desire your prayers this morning. Psalm number 122 is what we're going to be going over today. And we're going to be talking about being a pillar in the church of God. One thing we need to understand is that when God saved us, he saved us. He saved us from sin. He saved us from the consequence of sin. He saved us from death, hell, and the grave. But he also saved us to do something for him. And so what he wants to do is he wants to make us into something. There's a song that says, "Oh, make of me what thou would have me to be. As clay is, so I am to thee. Just fashion me to thine own pleasure until thou shalt thine own image see." And so God is looking for his image in us. When he looks at us, he wants to be able to see him in us. He wants us to live him up, and he wants us to be something for him. May God help us. And so the song is entitled, song number 122 is entitled, "If You Would Be a Pillar in the Church of God." If you would be a pillar, not a pillow, but a pillar. And so we're going to talk about this morning becoming a pillar. We have to desire that. We'll get to that. But I want us to be encouraged this morning to know that not just salvation, but that God's wanting to do something with you, make you strong in him, and that's what God wants to do for us. May God help us this morning. Songs, before we get to that, songs are for our encouragement. All right, if they can encourage us, our own selves, then it can help us to, it can help us collectively. Right. And then songs can be a blessing one to another. And just like that song was, those songs that those boys sang and that Sister Shayla sang was an encouragement to us this morning. God gave us that to bless one another and to bless ourselves. So they're based on gospel truths, all right? They're based on gospel truths, and they're also based on people's personal experience. God's able to give us an experience. In one place in the Bible, it talks about that we are written epistles, read and known of men. And so what happens is the word of God that's written here gets in our hearts, and then our stories are told, and our stories are told by what God does for us, and how he changes us, and how he blesses us. So God puts himself in us, and we're able to be a blessing unto others. And so we thank God for that. But one of the things that he does is when he changes us, sometimes he takes certain people and he'll give them a song. He'll give them a poem. Just like he wrote the word, he gives people songs, and it's for our encouragement. It's for our uplift. And you know what it's for? It's for our arsenal. It's for our arsenal. It's our weaponry. We pull that song out and we say, in this song that agrees with the word of God, that agrees with the life of that Christian, I can use that song sometimes. I can't get to the scripture, but that song will help me out in this battle and in this fight of life. Praise God this morning. And so we're going to use one of these songs to teach us a little something. It's going to give us some instruction, and it's also going to help us out in terms of knowing how to become a pillar in the church of God. All right, we want to be a pillar. A pillar is something that is a part of a structure of a building. All right, and I'll read the definition itself, but I want to give us what I want to make sure we know what we're talking about. A pillar is something that helps uphold the building itself. Is that right, Brother Tavis? Well, Brother Tavis is an architect, so we know that he knows what he's talking about. And so there's two types of pillars. And so I want us to understand that there's a load-bearing pillar, All right, it's load bearing, and then there's what's called ornamental pillars. All right, we don't want to be an ornamental pillar. It looks good. It looks like it can do something. But if the real pillars, the low-belling pillars, if something happens with them, those ornamental pillars are not going to be able to hold that structure up. All right? And so what we want to be, by the help of God, is pillars in the church of God. We want to be rooted and grounded and living in a way that somebody can lean on us if they have to, and we can help hold them up. May God help us this morning. Encouraged to live for the Lord this morning. I want you to go with me. I got two scriptures I want to read. First one is in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, and it's talking about our arsenal of our weapons, and then Ephesians 5 and 19. Not going to have too many scriptures that are going to be anything that we're not familiar with, but what we want to do is we want you to pray for us this morning. Because it'd be to be real happy if you just satisfied with being saved.
Right. True.
That's what he wants. You know, I want to put as much distance, and I want you to put as much distance in between you and the devil as you possibly can.
Amen.
All right? If you're going to be saved, you may better be all the way saved. Yeah. Right? Because if he can get you to be satisfied with just barely being in the gate, then he thinks what he can do is sooner or later, then he can get to you.
Yeah.
And kind of get you going back on the Lord.
Right.
You see? And so we want to go all the way for the Lord. May God help this morning. 2 Corinthians 10:4. What does it say there? You read it
for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
All right. Casting out imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we are identifying the songs of Zion. We're identifying them this morning as part of our weaponry, our spiritual weaponry.
Yes.
They say, I'm not coming across. Let me see what we got going here. Y'all pray for us. See, that's it. That's there it is. See, he talking all y'all to. They can't hear us. See, he can't do nothing to us. We're going to keep on going on for the Lord.
Right.
I got my glasses. I got my voice. The Lord's going to bless us. He's going to help us out.
Amen.
And so it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God who is pulling down a stronghold, casting out imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing captivity every thought to the deeds of Christ. So we got prayer, we got singing, we got the song of Zion, we got counsel, we got church service, we got a whole lot of things that we use in our fight against the enemy.
Yes.
And so what we want to do this morning is also identify the songs of Zion as something that we can use in our arsenal.
Yes.
All right, Ephesians 5 and 19, what does that say? Somebody get that for us and read it for us. What does it say?
Sing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs.
Okay.
Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
All right. It says here, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs,
yes,
singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I want to encourage you this morning that when you go into these songs of Zion, you need to understand that this is part of your weaponry. And so what happens is sometimes, again, you can't get to what you need to get to in terms of the scripture or in terms of maybe a message that spoke on what you got, what you're going to. But God will give you a song, because songs have a way of sticking in our minds to some kind of way, and they're there. I don't know how they're there, and God can go find it and find the phrase or the stanza that applies to what it is that you're going through, and it can embolden you, and it can strengthen you, and it can help you. And so this is why we're talking about this song this morning. I don't know why I went through all that trouble to validate why we're using this song for our message, but there must be a reason. So just bear with me. I want us to know that this is all part of how we make heaven our home.
Amen.
All right? And so this can help us in our battle. So God wants us to be a pillar, not a pillow. All right? But we do have a choice in the matter.
Right.
All right? We can't be content to just be saved.
Right.
There's sanctification to be had.
Right.
There's strength to be gained.
Yeah.
We want to be someone that the Bible says the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the what? Of the other strong people. That's what it said, right? No, it says of the weak, right? So that means that somebody got to be strong. How could I be saved today if brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, I can tell you some names, but I'm not trying to lift them up. Yeah. My point is, when I went to them for physical, for counsel, for encouragement, right, for prayer, no matter what they were going through, matter of fact, I didn't even think about what they were going through, right, because if I did, I probably wouldn't have went to them.
Right.
But I ended up being more encouraged than I deserve to be when I come back from these people that wanted to that aspire to be pillars in the church of God. All right? And so what happened was I was able to lean upon them, and they were able to hold me up a little bit, to encourage me along the way. Keep going on, brother. Keep going on, sister. You can make it. There's a blessing straight ahead. You just keep going on for the Lord. And so we have to aspire to be like that, because what God wants to do is save some more people. He wants to send some more people your way. And when he saves them people, they don't know a lot, and they're not very strong. And so what has to happen is you and I have to aspire to be pillars in the church of God. Don't just barely make it, but have something to give somebody when they come to you. Some encouragement, some uplift, some word of God, a song, an experience that you had a victory in that the Lord blessed and helped you with. This is what God is calling for you and for me. That's what he's calling for. I'm inspired by this message because you know what this means? That there are people that are already there, and there are people that are already close. I'll say that again. I'm inspired by this message because what this is saying is, it's people that's living like this, and there's people that are getting real close. And so he's saying, come on. Come on, get your pillar status by the grace and help of God. Get your pillar status. All right? And it's not a status in terms of we look up to them, but it's something that we can count on. The building structure is depending on that pillar.
Right.
All right? And when we lose a pillar, many times what ends up happening is somebody suffers because of that, because we don't have another one ready to go in its place. See? So we got to aspire to this kind of thing and put our effort towards becoming stronger in the Lord and being that child of God that's able to hold something and to do something in the battles and the tests of life. May God help us this morning.
Yeah.
All right. So we got to choose it. We got to choose it. So our desire is important. What does Ephesians 6 and 10 say? What does that say?
Finally, my brethren.
Be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. I want you to pause there.
Yeah.
It says, it's not talking about our own strength,
No. But
it's talking about God's strength.
Yeah.
God is the one that made Samson. Y'all remember Samson?
Yeah.
Okay, so God made him the way that he was, right?
Yeah.
And so in the same way that God made Samson in the physical sense, he could make us in the spiritual sense.
Yeah.
We can be like that if we want to be like that. But it comes from God, and it's got to be that I'm willing to go through it. What does it say? In your patience possessing your soul. And then it also says that the trials that work patience, and patience works something else. And you see what I'm saying? You got to be able to be willing to go through what it's going to take to become that strong man and woman and child of God. And I did say child of God, because children can be strong too in the Lord and in the power of his might. Did you know that? You children of this age have to be stronger than ever. You know why? Because they're pulling out all of the truth out of everything. You can't pray in school. You can't. Anyway, I'm not going down that tangent today. But I might one day, so y'all better be ready. But it's true, though. Y'all have to be strong because there's a lot coming against you. You don't think God knew that? You don't think that God provided for that? Through salvation and through a relationship with him, being connected to the power source, you children of God, and I mean not just us, but children of God can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I want you children to aspire to be strong in the Lord. It can do nothing but bless you and help you
Amen.
Along the way. May God help us this morning. So I have to desire to be strong in the Lord in the power of this of his might. All right? God's not going to fail us. He's going to take us to and through each test and trial. He'll be with us even until the very end. He promised that. All right? And so we have that ability and we have that blessing. All right, first verse says, if you would be a pillar in the church of God. A pillar is a tall vertical structure of stone, wood, or metal used as a support for a building or as an ornament. Okay, so that's what we was talking about earlier. It's a support, all right? So we have to choose if we're going to be stone, wood, or metal. All right? Are we going to be we want to be the strongest version of ourselves that we can possibly be. And we have to choose not to be that ornamental type, but to be the real support that God is wanting us to be. Am I willing to allow the Lord to bring me to this place? Am I willing to go through what he's going to cause me to go through to in order to obtain this type of strength? All right? All right, a pillar is also defined as a person or thing regarded as reliable and essential support, providing essential support for something.
Yeah.
All right, and so that's the kind of pillar that we want to be. We want to be strong in the Lord in the power of his might.
Yeah.
Somebody go to Romans 15 and verse number 1. I want to encourage you this morning that God has this for us.
Yeah.
All right? God has, I'll say it this way. As close as you want to get to God, you can get that close.
Yeah.
As strong as you want to be, you can be. You know, we as people, we have physical limitations.
Right.
And God can do something about those too, but those limitations are not as important as a spiritual limitation. And so when it comes to spiritual things, you can go as far or as high or be as strong as you want to be in God. I said it, and I mean it, because God is, he's wanting that. He can use that, you see? And so we don't have to live beneath our privilege. We can put in for it. We can say, God, I need to be a little, I'm kind of weak in this area, God. I'll be honest with you, Lord. I'm a little bit weak in this area. And so I know that this trial and this test is coming again, and I want to do better next time. I want to represent you in a good way next time. And so, Lord, I need some strength in this area.
Yes.
He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. So if you say you already have some strength, it takes strength to even be saved. But what he wants to do is he wants to make you stronger and better for him. What does it say in Romans 15 and 1?
We then that are strong.
All right. All right.
And not to please ourselves.
All right. Let every one of his, excuse me, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. All right. So what that's saying is that I have a, remember we preached that I am my brother's keeper message, right? Brother's keeper. What that's saying is I have a responsibility to myself, not only for myself, but also for those that may need help along the way. All right. And so we, one of the things that we learn as children of God, and we'll get more into it, but one of the things that helps us as Christians is to not only look at things in terms of how it would benefit me, okay, but how's it going to benefit somebody else?
Yeah.
And that can help with our motivation in terms of what we aspire to do, what we're trying to do for the Lord. Lord, I'm not only needing this for me, but I'm needing this for somebody else. They might need it. And that will help us as well.
Yeah.
So I wanted to encourage us with that this morning. All right, and then it says here, if you would be a pillar in the church of God, you must overcome the world. Somebody get 1 John 2 and 15. Somebody else get Luke 16 and 13. All right? Here's the problem, okay? There's a problem with love of the world. There's a problem with affiliation of the world. There's a problem with wanting to be like the world. Remember, if you're going to be a pillar in the church of God, you can't be a pillar in the church of God and then be a pillar in the world as well. They're not close enough for them to be supporting both of those structures. You understand? God's church is over here. The world is over there. All right? And so if you're wanting to be a pillar over there, you can't do the same thing at the same time. It doesn't work that way. All right? And so the first thing you and I have to do is decide where we want to be a pillar at. All right? And make that definitive choice. I want to be a pillar in the church of God. I want to live for God. I want to be all that I can for the Lord. Right? And then what that does is that this allows us from being over there in the world and doing those types of things. What does it say in 1 John 2 and 15? What does it say?
Love not the world.
Don't love the world. Don't love the things that are in the world.
Any man love the world.
Love of the Father is not in him.
All
that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, not of the Father, of the world. So, pause there for me, please. Do you see how this could be a problem?
Yes.
How in the world am I going to love the world, be affiliated with the world, once I know all that's in the world? How is that going to help the kingdom of God? The lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life? How is that going to go with God's agenda? How is that going to be a blessing and a help? How is that going to draw all men unto him? How is that going to lift him up? It can't work, right? And so you and I have to come to a place where the things of the world lose their value. We live in the world. We have to eat and drink and work and all of these things. I understand that, and God understands that too. But me loving that, me placing my importance on those things, me pursuing those things, what that'll do is it'll erode my love for God. It'll erode my relationship with God. And I will never become what God wants me to be in his church when I'm divided like that. Okay? And so what God is saying is, don't be divided. Choose what you want to do and then go jump in with both feet, like they say. Go all in for the Lord. All right, I believe Brother Tyler said that at one time or another. What does it say in Luke 16 and 13? What does it say?
No servant can serve two masters.
All right.
For either he will hate the one
and
love the other.
Okay.
Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other.
All right, you can't serve two masters. Right? So when we it says, if you would be a pillar in the church of God, you must overcome the world. Who is I'm going to ask a question. I want an answer. Who is the master of the world? The devil, right? They call him the prince of this world, right? And so he's running things over there, right? And so then the problem is, when my affections are divided, then what I'm really doing is I'm giving servitude to the master of this world.
Right. Yes.
I know, eek. Ooh. But that's how it is.
Yeah.
No man can serve two masters. Can you imagine that? I'm the boss. No, I'm the boss. No, do what I tell you to do. No, do what I tell you to do. Especially if they are diametrically opposed. See, God's agenda is totally different than the devil's agenda and the world's agenda. You understand? Totally different. And so how can I do that? Me as a Christian, I get saved, but I'm still leaning towards the things of the world. How can I do that and please God also? How can I become a pillar in the church of God if I'm trying to hold on to the things of the world and then hold on to God also? There will be a split there, right? All right? And so the pillar loses its integrity. Okay? Can't be done. All right? And so what we have to do is decide what we want to do. If you would be a pillar in the church of God, you must overcome the world. How that's done is God comes and deals with us. And he does this with all of the things that we have on hand that he can't use. If he doesn't want it, he doesn't want you to do it, doesn't want you to be involved in it, whatever it is, if he wants to make an adjustment on it, God's Spirit, his Holy Spirit, is faithful. All right? The Spirit is a comforter and a guide. It's also a teacher. All right? And so what it does is it comes to you and me once we are saved, and it says to us, I can't use that. I want you to stop doing that. I don't want you going there. I don't want you doing those types of things. Your love is divided between me and the world in this area. And so he deals with us on a personal and a specific basis. The instructions are in the Word, but his Holy Spirit will come and deal with you and with me. And the beauty of that is, my problem might not be Brother Tavis's problem. Might not be Brother Johnson's problem. You understand? We all have different areas that God needs to bring us up on and help us out with. My only responsibility is when God comes to me and says, this is what I want you to do in and concerning these things, that we say, Lord, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do it by your grace and help and mercy, and I won't let nothing stop me. I'm going to do it.
Yes.
That kind of mindset and that kind of attitude, with God's help, our will, and his power, will help us to overcome the world. If you're having problems overcoming the world, what probably is going on is your affection is divided.
Right.
Okay? So what you need to do is you go to God and you say, Lord, I've got this problem. My affections are divided. I value this thing, this goal that I had in life, or maybe I want something that the world has to offer. And the Bible says, it's God that worketh in us both to what? To will and to what? To do of his good pleasure. So I can go to God, I can say, Lord, I got this issue, I got this problem, I'm trying to overcome the world, and it's overcoming me. And so, Lord, in honesty and truth, I need you to help me right here. And so, Lord, I'm bringing my will to you, I'm asking you to have mercy upon me, I want you to help me. And so when I do that, what he does is he begins to deal and to work in the heart and in the mind of mankind. He does that for us. You know why? Because we can't do it for ourselves. My good intentions, all my efforts, all my different philosophies and all of those things, it doesn't do it. It may do it for a little while, but it can't give you any consistency, right? But what gives you consistency is the power of God. That's the difference between salvation and just living unsaved. The difference is, now that I'm a child of God, I can come to God and say, Lord, I don't want to do that thing anymore. Lord, I don't want that desire anymore. Lord, I don't want to be conflicted about this thing anymore. And God can say, well, guess what? I can help you overcome this thing. And he will do it. He will do it. That's the key there. Okay? Why can I say that with such emotion, such passion? Why? Because he did it for me. He did it for me. I know what I was bound by. I can tell you some things in a different setting. I can tell you what he delivered me from. And I haven't done those things in years. And I'm talking about things that you're doing every day that you could not do. You understand? You have things that had control over you.
Right?
Right? God is a deliverer. He's a conquering one. He's an overcomer. All right? And he instructs us to be an overcomer. And in order to do that, we're going to have to ask God to help us and then be willing to let him help us. And he will help us. Thank God for that right now today. Amen. It says, if you would be a pillar in the church of God, you must overcome the world. You must overcome the world. And then it says, die to fame and reputation. Somebody get John 12 and 32. Die to fame and reputation. Listen, this is a big deal. Maybe you don't want to be famous in terms of the world, but there are people that you want to think a certain thing about you. Okay. One of the reasons why so many people want to have wealth is because it's not really for themselves. A lot of people want to have wealth, and some people do want it for themselves, but a lot of people, the reason why they want to have wealth is because they want someone else to think a certain thing about them. Stop me when I say something wrong. Okay? This is the truth of God's word. When I desire after these things and I put my effort in these things, see what happens is when we're young and we don't know any better, someone comes to us and they say, "You are poor." And it hurts. If you got 9 sisters and 1 brother, you might be poor.
Right.
Yeah. And whatever your situation is. And so what happens is you take that on. You take that on like it's your responsibility to prove that you are not less than. At a very young age, and you start, okay, I'm going to do good in school. I'm going to get straight A's, and I'm going to go to college, and I'm going to have this kind of job, and I'm going to have this kind of 401k. And you start putting all your effort toward these types of things. And what we do sometimes and many times is God begins to be on the back burner and on the back burner and way back on the somewhere back there. Somewhere he's there. I know about him. I grew up knowing about him. I grew up hearing about him. But his importance in terms of who I am and who I want to be, and most importantly, what I want people to think of me, becomes more important than the the condition of my soul. And do you know that maybe we have done that, and then now we get saved, and it's such a deeply ingrained part of us that God has to, through His Holy Spirit, He's got to get to that.
Amen.
He's got to get to that. And so He starts working with us. And we say, well, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why, I got all this stuff, but I took a loss here, and I took a loss there, and I'm taking a, you see what I'm saying? God is touching that thing, because that thing is too important to us, and it's going to hinder our relationship with God. Right? And so God's able to do that for us, and it's His love and it's His mercy that's touching that thing, so that that thing is not more important than it should be in our lives. And you can apply that to anything. A lot of children, if you listen to children talk, and this is what the devil does, and I'm trying to make sure that I model this behavior, and we teach our children, speak kindly. Practice kindness. Practice speaking good one to another. Because these are the types of injuries that people take on at a young age, and then they have to battle these things even before they're fully aware of what it has done to them. All right? And God wants to help with all of those things. All right, what scripture did we have? John 12, 32.
If I be lifted up from the earth,
all right,
draw all men unto me.
Well, why is he reading this scripture? John 12 and 32. If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto who? Unto me. Who's talking there?
Jesus,
right? So the way of Christ is a different way. The way of the world, the way of sin, is a way of self. Okay? The Bible says if any man will come after me, what do you got to do? Deny himself, then do what? Take up his cross, and then do what? Follow him. And so you can see why the enemy would use self to combat that.
Right, yeah.
If he can get you and I to be more concerned about our fame and our reputation or whatever it is, which is attached and tied to self, then what happens is we're not willing to give up self. So since we can't give up self, we're not taking up no crosses. And if we're not taking up no crosses, we definitely ain't following him. See how that works? So the problem is when we are in our Christian experience and we find a place where we have some issue then Lord, help me to deny myself. Help me, Lord, to meet you at an altar of prayer in sincerity and in truth and say, Lord, I want you to deliver me from my own self. There are varying degrees of it. You may have done this already. So you say, I'm good. Well, if you come to a place where self can't get out the way, then what does that mean? More grace. You give more grace to the humble, right? And so it's not a one time and I'm good. This is a daily walk with the Lord. And if the Lord is saying, Lord, I want you, the Lord is saying, I want you to humble yourself right here so you can get the help that you need, then who's right, him or us? He's right. And he's telling us right. We've got to accept that, acknowledge that, and allow that process to begin for the good of our souls, for the good of others. All right? Because it ain't no way I'm going to be a pillar in the church of God when I'm a selfish person.
Right.
Somebody going to come to you and say, brother so-and-so, I need you to pray with me and pray for me. I got problems of my own. Pray for yourself, brother. Sister. Or you might say it, but you really don't, you might not say that, but are you really putting the effort and the sincerity into it that you would want somebody else to put in for you if you had a need? Lord, help us. I want to be a pillar in the church of God, not to be seen and all out, and I don't care about none of that, but there are souls at stake, and what needs to happen is somebody got to step up and do something around here. By the help of the Lord, I'm not saying we're not doing nothing. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm saying, he's saying, as many pillars, let me ask you this. What if you had four good pillars on a structure? Would that be good? Four of them?
Yeah.
It'd be good, wouldn't it? What if you had eight, though?
That's even better.
16?
Yeah.
32,
better.
64, 128, 256? You see what I'm saying? 512? 1024? You see what I'm saying? The more pillars you got, the better.
Yeah.
Right? And if he come to Church of God Dallas and or wherever the church you're going to, and he said, I'm going to send you somebody that needs some help and some support. You know that sometimes people don't even come to church and they get saved? And they need somewhere to go? Can he, and I believe that he can. I'll answer it before I even ask it. But are we a place where God can send somebody that's weak and needs to grow in the Lord? And can he send them to our congregation? Can he send them to you? Can he send them to me? By the help of the Lord, he can. He can. I want us to be that kind of church. I want us to be those kind of individuals that have a know-soul salvation. I know the Lord. I know what he can do. I know what he did for me, and he'll do it for you. It's a difference when you got that kind of relationship with God. When somebody come to you, brother, I'm going to pray with you because I know what the Lord can do. He did it for me. I'm not talking about it. I've been through it, and I know that he'll do it for you because he did. It's no secret what God can do. What he done for others, he'll do for you. He did it for me, brother. We can pray right now. We can get down on our knees right now and ask him for what it is that you need, and he'll meet that need. I know he will. That's the kind of child of God that he's wanting you and I to be. May God help us this morning. If you would be a pillar in the church of God, you must overcome the world. You must overcome the world. Die to fame and reputation. I'm almost done here. And then do what? Take the path that Jesus trod. The meek will he do what? The meek will he what? Guide? Guide in judgment. And then what else? The meek will he teach his way. All right? So the meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. Take the path that Jesus trod. What is the path of Jesus? It's a mass of humbleness, humility, self-denial, meekness, right? Let's talk about meekness, and let's talk about humility. Is there a difference? Is there something that makes one thing different, a little bit different than the other? I'll tell you. Humility is, of course, when we're talking about God and being in the kingdom of God, is humbling and submitting to the will of God.
Right.
Meekness takes it a step farther.
Right.
All right? Because meekness is, remember Jesus, they came to get Jesus? What happened when they came to get Jesus? Peter chopped the ear off. Did something else happen? What else happened, Brother Woody? What happened this morning? What happened to the Roman soldiers?
They fell back.
What? Excuse me?
They were thunderstruck.
Thunderstruck and fell back. So meekness is a whole nother level, because I've got the ability to straighten you out if I need to. Huh? But because I love you and I love your soul, I'm not going to do that to you. I'm going to deal with you in the way that Christ would deal with you, in love and in mercy and with grace, with the idea that if God get a hold of that soul like he need to, they're going to be all right by the help of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
This is what God is wanting us to do. Take his way.
Yes.
His way is a path of meekness, the
yeah.
path of humility. I'm not talking about, I said meekness. I ain't say weakness.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Meekness is not weakness.
No, it's not.
Don't confuse the two. They spell totally different. And one way, there's a power that goes along with it that people know you have the power.
Right.
And they say, you know what, you could have really got me there. But you must have something because you didn't. And then they begin to wonder, what is going on with that brother, that sister, that child of God?
Yeah.
All right? And so let's take his way. The meek will he guide in judgment.
Yeah.
The meek will he teach his way. Somebody read Proverbs 23:23, and somebody read Matthew 16:24. My desire is not to hold you any longer. I had thank the Lord we're not doing the second verse, but maybe at another time. But what does Proverbs 23:23 say?
Guide the truth and self-knowledge.
All right.
Also wisdom and instruction and understanding.
All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to veer off a little bit, then we're going to come back. Same subject, but I want you to stay with me. We talked about it this morning. I wish if you weren't there, you were there this morning. But what we talked about is the Church of God and why it has its name, right? Because the Church of God, it's about God. It's not about us.
Right.
So what's happening is people have many different versions or whatever of what they call the truth,
right.
What they call the gospel. Right? And so what makes you understand if it's right or wrong is, where is the meekness? If we're talking about Pastor, Reverend, Pastoress, you know, and if you don't bow and scrape to them and make sure you get out their way when they come, if that's where you're going and that's what you got going on, that ain't it.
Amen.
That ain't it. If they're promoting something other than the truth of God's word, then that ain't it either.
Amen.
All right? Because what we are here for is the word of God. You're not listening to me because you want to hear what I think about it. You want to hear what the Lord has to say about it. So everything that I say and everything I do should be backed by the word, the way, and the spirit of God. If you go somewhere and get some information other than that, that is false, and you are under no obligation to follow those things. As a matter of fact, I warn you and encourage you, get away from it. It's not good for you.
Amen.
All right? Buy the truth and don't sell it. All right? Get wisdom and understanding as well. All right? And so what we are to do is, if we're going to be the pillar in the church of God, how can we be that pillar if we don't even know what's true and what's right?
Amen.
We can't even make an understanding of what's... So study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yes.
Get in your word.
Yes.
Make every service that you physically possibly can.
Amen.
All right? Every time you have an opportunity to have devotion, have devotion.
Yes.
Pray, read, spend time with the Lord.
Yes.
What that does
Amen.
Is... is it makes you ready and able to fight falsehood. Okay? You'll know where the devil is. You'll know where he's coming from. You can call him out and send him on his way by his power. All right? But if you don't know it, you're not going to be a pillar in the church of God. You're going to be confused and conflicted like everybody else. So I want you to know the word of God. I want you to live the word of God. And God wants you to do that more importantly than I do. And that's where the strength is. That's where the blessing is. All right? So if you want to be a pillar in the church of God, why don't we start there? What does Matthew 16 and 24 say? What does that say for us? All right.
If any man will come after me,
all right,
let him deny himself,
all right,
and take up his cross,
all right,
and follow me.
All right. So we talked about that earlier. It's his way. It's him that we are promoting. It's him that we are lifting up. All right. And so any other way would deteriorate our ability to gain that pillar in the church of God. All right. No self-denial. No taking up the cross, no following him, you're not going to make it, okay? So ask the Lord to help. Listen, let me say this again. I'm going to be laboring this. Get upset with me if you have to, okay? Take it home, I don't care, but remember what I'm saying. If you're going to get anywhere with God, okay, you're going to have to want to do it, but it's going to go beyond that. You're going to have to go to a place where you get to a place where you don't want to do it in your flesh, but you know that it's what God wants you to do, and so you seek the Lord for the want to. Okay? Do I need to say it again? Or we got it? I'm going to say it one more time. You begin with the desire to please God. You can never lose that. Always keep that. Because you're going to come to a place where you're going to come to a place where it's going against the flesh. Whatever God's requiring of you to do, it seems too much. It seems too hard. It seems unfair. It seems something, and you don't really want to do it. At those places is really where we show that we love the Lord. We say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done in my life. May God help us. This is how you get to that pillar status. Not the pillow, but the pillar. May God help us. All right, I'm almost finished here. I appreciate your time and your attention and your prayers for me. I want to encourage you this morning to aspire. What aspire means is to set your sights and your goals and put your time and your effort towards a goal, right? You put your effort towards not just being saved, not just barely being in the gates, not just barely making it through your trials and tests, but by the grace and help of God, God has something more for you and for me.
That's right.
You aspire to be somebody that somebody else can lean on in a time of trouble, in a time of need. You lean on God, they lean on you, you both make it. All right? So aspire to have that kind of relationship with God. And then when you come to a place where there's a conflict and you need the Lord to help you, Sister Kim used to sit right there and she said, humility is the key. If you can get low enough, if you can humble yourself low enough, you can obey what God is asking for you to do. All right? And so help divine implore. Say, Lord, I need you to help me here. This is a hard saying. This is a difficult place for me to be. But I'm asking you, Lord, to give me strength and help to do what it is you want me to do. I'm acknowledging that I don't want to do this. I'm acknowledging that I don't think this is right or this is fair. But I know that you know better than I do. And so my will is submitting to your will. God can bless that. He can help that. And he's going to make you into what you want to be in God. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers for me. Pray for me because the enemy wants to destroy me. And in that process, he wants to harm you as well. And so we don't want that. I want to live a day-to-day experience that be pleasing and honoring unto God. And so you pray for me. I'm not just saying that. I'm asking you. You get a time and you think of me throughout the day. I don't care if you're on your knees or not. You say a prayer for Brother Grant. Say, Lord, help him. You know he needs help. Please help him. Because he's not going to make it if you don't help him, Lord. Just something simple. And then what I'm going to do by the help of the Lord, I'm going to be praying for you too. Because I want you to make it. I want you to be encouraged in the Lord. I want you to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I want you to become a pillar. If you're not already a pillar, if you are a pillar, I want you to stay strong. Stay strong in the Lord and keep going on by the grace and help of God. Appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers for me.